We are back again. It's GMB representing the Secondhand Clothesellers Association, and I have with me God Live, and I'm Brian.
Yours truly, I'm in the building again. Hey, I know you guys have been waiting to hear from us again, and today we'll bring you a really nice 30-minute show. Like, don't worry, we got you.
We will be delving into the economic benefits of people dealing with secondhand clothing. Economic benefits.
Definitely. And we're so glad that Jessica, our friends, Jessica and Lois decided to go in the market today and find some people to talk to. We also get you their thoughts and stuff as far as their benefits and how lucrative this business is. So we'll see. Brian has a lot to say today. He seems very happy about this subject. We'll see what he has in store for you guys.
Economic benefits. Again. So, I find it difficult to assume that there won't be any economic benefits dealing in this job, because even from La Paz all the way to Malam, you see people having shops selling these things.
Oh yeah, like I said in the last episode, you know, I stated clearly that this business is lucrative. I mean, if you ask me, I will invest in this business. I'll invest in it. Like, you know, especially the youth. You know, secondhand clothing could vary from clothes, shoes, all types of stuff. Like, they are on the market and they are moving fast. So I'm pretty sure it's...
Let's do a little thought experiment. How do you think this is going to benefit the economy as a whole?
Okay, I mean, of course, taxpayers' money.
Okay.
If, whatever money that is being made through legal ways always help the economy, because the taxpayer is the one gaining it. Definitely the government is going to get some money from it. And then whoever is getting, the entrepreneur himself, will get the money to, you know, do things around his neighborhood, maybe open other business ventures for people, and economically we're moving forward.
What about the idea of regulatory bodies monitoring the activities of these secondhand clothes sellers?
Yes, that can also be put in place. You know, if I feel like sometimes they get harassed on the streets, but like you said, if you have people that they have to check and balance, like make sure whatever they have going on is, it's in place, it's legal, it's in the right standing, they don't offend anybody. You know, sometimes the way they set up their businesses and stuff, maybe they're not, it doesn't become detrimental to somebody else's business.
I am really glad you brought up the whole health issue as well. So, worst case scenario, if you take into account the COVID era, the COVID situation, and the government disallows people importing used clothes.
Yes.
How do you think it's going to affect the business as a whole?
Oh yeah, I think, Brian, during the COVID times, I think they locked the borders from important, important stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like that actually, it did two things in my perspective. The secondhand clothing that was already in the country, the prices of them went up.
Okay.
And then after the COVID, now everything is in the system. So it's kind of like the people that had some clothes to sell during the COVID season,
we're monopolizing.
Yes, made a lot of money too.
Okay.
Because they had the goods. So since the borders is closing, the other retailers couldn't get stuff. The ones that already had it were the ones that was, you know, they were the ones that were actually moving and making a lot of money.
So that means that in order for the business to be successful, people have to have access to it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, our members, Jessica and Lois, went out into the field and got us a video. So we're going to play that for our audience to hear.
When 7 years, my dad is earning something in life. 7 years, we need a cobra.
I'm going to go to the house.
10,000 Ghana. We just pay 1,000 Ghana. First in the name, but it's here.
It's in no. Now it's before Corona. No.
Yeah.
Nani amaye.
Yeah, yeah.
But Corona ni ba ye. Namani amaye.
Yeah. We don't need one bed, 1,000. It's here, 1,006. After Corona.
Well, you heard it all. He mentioned his 2%, what's the word again? Profits, yes, from dealing in secondhand clothes. He did mention washing and other stuff, but we'll deal with that in the next episode.
Okay. Okay, we'll deal with all of that in the next episode, like you said. But truly, I feel like this secondhand business is a booming business. I truly feel it's a booming business, and the economic effects that it has on the community and
You know, I just had a thought experiment yet again. So, our ladies, our sisters,
yes,
have focused on branding. Have you realized that they go on Instagram and sell secondhand clothes?
Of course,
they don't hawk the streets like the other brethren do. But exactly. Then they brand themselves, and then
if you remember in the last episode, I did say something that if this was my business, I would focus on the demand and supply, the market niche. Mm-hmm. I would not necessarily set up a stagnant joint.
Yeah.
No, I will go around to my customers, my consumers, because this is the type of business where I feel like you have to get to the people, you have to reach the people, get them the stuff that they need. So branding yourself is everything, because a lot of people have this stuff. A lot of people have this secondhand. They deal in these secondhand clothes. But you going out there and pretty much chasing the customers. Of course, like you said, your relationship with the consumers also really affect your whole ordeal. You understand? So all of that stuff helps.
Okay.
Branding yourself. All of that stuff helps.
But do you think that branding also aids them to close their prices? Because secondhand clothes are supposed to be affordable.
They are affordable, but you see, it's always a price range for certain stuff, like secondhand clothes. You know, it'll be an amount that when it's said, you can tell this is ridiculous. So even if the person is branding themselves, they can't go beyond a certain price range. Then it becomes ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Then everybody is like, ah, but I do wear a ton of Hanoma. You see, it's this price, so why do you have it this way? Because of just branding?
I've seen my sisters had a fair share of experiences with thrift stores online on Instagram. And their stuff looks quite expensive. If you look at what they are portraying online and maybe their counterparts on the streets, you find a huge difference. It makes you think that the online presence is what allows them to increase the price if they might catch an unsuspecting buyer.
It's also marketing. It's marketing. You know, the way that you advertise your stuff, marketing and all of that, you know, packaging, branding, labeling, all that stuff get put into perspective when you are pricing your stuff. Yes, but again, secondhand clothing being sold to a student, the price will be different from a secondhand clothes being sold to a worker, because you know your consumers, you know their status, so it's gonna be different. That is just marketing tactics that
okay.
they use.
Okay.